Jesus. Thank you for joining me for this song. Yeah, first of all, before I enter the message, I want to apologize for Sunday. Last Sunday, I couldn't make it to the family camp. I really feel sorry that I didn't come, and that's because of many reasons. I would like us to keep praying for Pastor Vicky. As we know, his shoulder, he fell on it last time, but I hope he's going to get better, and also for his vacation. And we also continue to thank you on behalf of my family and myself. I continue to thank you abundantly, this church, and thank you also for opening the door for me to come and stand before you to speak the word of God. Amen. Are we ready for the word of God now? Shall we pray, church? Father, we thank you for this wonderful day. We thank you for bringing us here. We thank you for the weather. We also thank you for the health that you've given us. Lord, we are in your house and ready to listen to your word. I pray that your Holy Spirit will talk to us, convey the message to every one of us. And as I speak, your servant, use me as a vessel. And Lord, may you be glorified in this time. We thank you in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. My book is in Psalm. I will now read in the book of Psalm. Psalm 37. You remember, Vicky has started a series about the book of Psalm. And when she called me to speak, I thought it's good to also continue with the book of Psalm. And I'm telling you, the book of Psalm is so awesome. It's so wonderful. It's great. You find great things, what David has written. We are reading in Psalm 37, and we read from verse 1 to verse 7. The Bible says, "Do not fret because of those who are evil, or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they will be soon wither, like green plants, they will soon die away." Verse 3. "Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will do this. He will make your righteous reward shine like the dawn, your vindication like the moon day. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when people succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes." I will stop there for today, and the coming Sunday, I will continue with the following verses. And the topic that I'm talking about says the important things that will keep you faithful to God during the tough time. What are the important things that keeps us strong? What are the important things that keeps us good in faith when we undergo hard time? David, the one who wrote this book of Psalm 37, if you recall about his life, he literally went through tough time, different times, and many issues in his life. But if he can come and write such thing, we deserve really to understand and accept this message, because the author, the writer of this passage, he himself went through many, many things. You'll recall what happened to him when he had to face Goliath, when he had to face Philistines, when he had to face many battles. But overall, he said that the Lord helped him to overcome. And when he wrote here in Psalm 37, it's a message that really, really encouraged every one of us. I was thinking about this. When two boys ask your daughter for marriage, who are you going to choose? Two boys come together. They ask your daughter for marriage. Now, who will have that priority in your heart to say, yes, we give her to Mr. A, not to Mr. B. Now, think about this. Among these two boys, one is a very strong Christian, filled with the Holy Spirit, very humble and God-fearing boy. But he also is very destitute, poor. He's smelling poverty. On the other hand, the other boy is a non-believer, but very wealthy, self-sufficient, has a mansion, a big house, drives good cars, has a lot of money in the bank, and runs good business. Now, who are you going to choose for your daughter? You see, it's not who to who you're gonna, your daughter will be married that interests us today. But the point is, what if the poor Christian got denied or rejected just because of his faith? How about that? How do you think he will cope with this deception, this rejection, just because of his situation that he did not choose to be the way he is? If we understand this illustration, it brings us to understand this passage. Now, David is writing and is saying something so important here about the attitude of a Christian face to the tough time he goes through just because of Christian life. Look for what David is saying. Do not fret because of those who are evil, or don't be envious because of those who do wrong. And if you go down, David says clearly, he says, down here he says, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when people succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Hallelujah. Oh, one person. Hallelujah. Two people now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. So it means because of people's condition and their faith, sometime, maybe, perhaps, you'll find yourself going through difficulties, and that become a challenge for your walk with Christ. David spotted that, and then he wrote this, encouraging the Israelites, encouraging the people of God, telling them, brother, sister, do not fret, do not worry, take it easy. He says here, do not fret because of those who are evil, or don't be envious of those who do wrong. Keep your attitude when you see others doing well and you do not, but you are working perfectly, correctly well with God. Don't move. Don't accept to be shaken because of what you see in your neighborhood or in the environment. So he says here, keep a good attitude. Do not compare yourself with wicked people. Do not worry about how good they may seem or they may like. Do not say, I wish I were in Sodom. Don't say that. I wish I were in Sodom and leave that crazy things of Sodom. Don't wish you would be like the people who are living in the darkness. That's what this David is saying. Maybe you've been praying and praying for long for a good job, asking God to give you that job, and you see your resume is okay, everything you did is fine, you have a good experience, and the offer of this job is well put on the ads online, and you see that job, and you go, you send your resume. Unfortunately, they choose someone who does not know God and no one cares about you. Well, you may not feel bad against people, but your faith will be shaken. Your faith will have impacts. That why God, why this happening after I pray, after I walk with you, after I fear you, after I serve you, after I do everything pleasing you, why is this happening to me? That's what David is saying. That's exactly what David is saying. Don't be envious when you see people of the world, wicked people, people who do not know God, they succeed, they do right, they continue their business, everything they're doing is going okay, whereas on your side, things are dwindling. Don't worry about that. That's what David's saying. This passage is so clear and so powerful and so encouraging today. Praise the name of God. Hallelujah. So, I was, when I came here in Canada in 2008, I like much to listen to Praise 016.5 and Radio Kerry. One of my best speakers is Chuck Swindoll. How many know him? Oh, everyone. I love this man. I never met him, but when I listen to what he's speaking, oh, it always blesses me. I love all these speakers, don't get me wrong. But this is my favorite one. Amen? You know, I found what he wrote here about attitude. He says this. He says, the remarkable thing is we have a choice every day regarding the attitude we'll embrace for that day. I like this. He adds more things. He says, words can never adequately convey the incredible impact of our attitude toward life. He said, the longer I live, the more convinced I become that life is 10% what happens to us and 90% of how we respond to it. So our attitude toward reality of life has to be positive. We have to always be encouraged. And David is saying, don't fret, don't worry, don't compare yourself. Don't sit down there and start calculating your life, comparing to others and say, no. Why do I go through this? Whereas I'm a prayerful person, I pray, I fear God, I serve God, I give my tithe, I do everything. But why is that my life is dwindling, my health is going bad, my health is collapsing, everything doesn't seem to work for me. Why, God? David said, don't worry about that. Don't compare yourself to others. You're unique. You're special. You're another person. You're a child of God. I find in the Bible, it is a common thing to worry. It's a common thing to fret. It's a common thing to compare your life with others. This is human. Look what's happening here in the Bible. If you read Malachi chapter 3, verse 13 to 18, the Bible says here, Israel speaks arrogantly against God. What did they say? You have spoken arrogantly against me, says the Lord. Yet you ask, what have we said against you? You have said, listen to this. Listen for what the children of Israel said. They said this. It is futile to serve God. What do we gain by carrying out this requirement and going about like mourners before the Lord Almighty? But now we call the arrogant blessed. Certainly, evildoers prosper, and even when they put God to test, they get away with it. Then those who fear the Lord talk with each other, and the Lord listen and hold a scroll of remembrance was written in his presence concerning those who fear the Lord and honored his name. One day, when I act, says the Lord Almighty, they will be mistreasure possession. I will spare them, just as a father has compassion and spares his son, serve him. And you will again see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between those who serve God and those who do not. You see, it's the time came, the children of Israel, they were so mad, grieving, mourning. How come we are serving God, we are worshiping God, we revere God, but he is not paying us back? Whereas people who do not know God, they are prospering, they are doing great. Now, what are you going to do in such time when your faith is in problem, your faith is in challenge? Don't say that you can't feel bad. You fear God, you walk with God, you serve God, you are a girl who really fear God, you are a boy who does fears God, you are a man who just pray every day, and everything you are doing doesn't seem to work, but those who do not know God, they prosper. I'm telling you, there will be a little voice that Satan will bring to your heart. That's why today God is telling us, don't worry about that. Don't compare your life with others. It happened to Peter. The time came when Peter, after he followed Jesus for a long time, he came and said, oh, Jesus, I have a question for you. We have left everything. Like, for example, myself, I was a fisherman, and I had left everything and following you. Now, if it's good to ask this question, what do you think we're going to benefit from all that? You see, Peter, he was also tempted to ask this question. Not only that, remember that brother of a prodigal son, that brother, that elder brother who stayed at home. When the prodigal son came back and the father made a feast, they made everything for the son. What happened to the boy who was staying home? He suffered the same thing here. He said, come on, dad, that is not fair. I've been here, you never treated me this way. Brother and sister, today, this morning, you may be in the real estate situation. You feel like, what is going on with my life? I follow God. I pray. I fear God. But why this sickness in my body? Why this situation that I'm facing? What in the world wrong thing did I do? The Bible says, do not worry. Do not worry. Do not worry. Your Father knows your situation. He knows your condition. He knows you. So what are we supposed to do? Number one, don't worry. Don't compare yourself with others. Don't allow yourself to fall in this worry. Just don't worry. That's what the Bible says. Number two, trust in the Lord and do good. Trust in the Lord and do good. David is recalling, he's calling people to trust in God. And remember, what in the world you can explain when David had to face Goliath, the Philistines, all these things was not easy. But he trusted in the Lord. When he had to face Goliath, what did he say? He said, you come to me with this sword, but I come to you with the name of the Lord of Israel. Today they will know that there is God in Israel. And remember, it was after 14 days, the Israelites had to wake up in the morning and no one could step out to face Goliath. Not even David's brothers and siblings. But David decided to come and say, no. Whatever it costs, I'm going to face this man because I trust in God. Say amen. Amen. Trust in the Lord and he will do it. Doesn't matter where in the corner the life has taken you, keep trusting in the Lord. I love the song, the hymn that say, I just keep trusting in the Lord who never fails. Hallelujah. He never fails. When you trust in him, and you will never fail as well. In the Bible, there are a couple of best things, important things, benefit about trusting God. The Bible say, trust in the Lord. It will move you. It will help you. It will give you more strength. Psalm 56:3, when I am afraid, I put my trust in you. So you see here, trusting in God removes fear. Psalm 20 verse 7, some trust in chariot and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. Hallelujah. So you see here, trusting in God gives you more than weapon. It gives you strength. If you go up Psalm 125 verse 1, the Bible says, those who trust in the Lord are like mountains, are like Mount Zion, which cannot be shaken but endures forever. Today, I pray that the Lord give you enough strength and power to trust in him. And that trust will keep you and you will be an unshakable person. Isaiah 40 verse 31, Bible says, but those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. You see, when you trust in God, it revives your strength. It renews your strength. It gives you more strength. Jeremiah 17:7, but blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence in him. So trust in the Lord brings also the blessing upon your life. And finally, I like what the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him and he will make your path straight. So trust in the Lord also, it gives you strength to stay strong, and also it puts you together, your heart, your mind, your soul, and your spirit to trust God. It's a very important thing. So when you go through tough time, remember, our Lord never changes. Our Lord never fails. Trust in him. He will do it. Trust in him and do good. Trust in him and do good. Can you see? There's two passages go together. Trusting in God and doing good goes together. So when you trust him, you fear him, you worship him, and also you do good, which also bring the blessing upon your life. The following points, he said, delight yourself in the Lord. Delight yourself in the Lord. That's a wonderful passage. So great. Now the question comes here, what do you delight in? What is your delight? What makes you happy? The things of the world, they'll pass. The Bible says, the world and everything we see will pass one day. But those who do the will of God, they will abide forever. So what is your delight? David's saying here, delight yourself in the Lord. If knowing God is our highest and you delight in him, then we do not have to fret. We have to be strong. We have to be encouraging, because we know that God is on our side. Delighting in the Lord is an important point. He says that when you delight in God, God gives you the desires of your heart. Desire of your heart. We have many desires, many goals, many things to achieve. But God is able to make these goals to be fulfilled. But he wants you to love him, to delight yourself in him. And that is very important. When we delight in God, then the desire of our hearts will be in line with God's will. When we delight in God, the desire of our heart are in the lights with God's will. And when our desire are in light, in line with God's will, God can safely give us the desires of our heart. It's very important here. Sometimes we want God to answer our prayer, but we are not into, really into, in the things of God. We are really into in worshiping God, in loving him. But we just want to get something from him. But our heart, our spirit, our mind, it's not really in worshiping God. But here David is saying that delight in God and he will give you the desires of your heart. Which means when we love God, when we delight in him, also we have to walk according to his will. And that is what the Bible is telling us. So in fact, when we delight in God, we desire increase the intimacy with God, and God is happy to fulfill our desire for increase the intimacy that we have with himself. That's what God wants. He wants you to have time to talk to him, have time to worship him, and not because of your need, but because of he is your God. The point number 5, commit your way to the Lord. Commit your way to the Lord. Commit it. Your way to the Lord. Trust in him and he will do this. The commitment is the word we know. The commitment is the key of the good marriage. The commitment is the key to the good company to grow. The commitment is the key for every organization to succeed. The employee, the personnel have to show their commitment. And the Bible says commit your ways to the Lord. It means accept God to be the center of your life and accept God to be the answer for your need, the answer for your problem, the answer for everything that you may be going through. Commit your way to the Lord. Also, it speaks about praying, bringing your need to him, knowing that he's the only one who can answer your problem. He's the only one who has the answer for your need, and bring that need to him first. You commit your ways to the Lord by praying, by bringing your need to him through prayer, and he will do it. Commitment is a very deep word. It's a very important word. Without commitment, nothing much can happen. In the marriage, in the society, in the companies, everywhere, a commitment, and commitment is very important. That's why every day we should be asking God to help us to commit again our life to him, and ask God to help us to renew our commitment to him every day, every year, so that we may continue to walk until with him until the day the Lord Jesus will come. When we talk about committing our ways to God and speaking about prayer, the Apostle Peter said this way. He says, cast all your anxiety on God because he cares for you. You cannot bring your need to God if you don't trust in him. You cannot bring really your need to him if you don't trust in him and delight in him. And he said, cast your cares to God. Bring that cares to God. Leave it there to him. Knowing that he is able to help you. So committing our way to the Lord includes going to God in prayer, taking our problem to the foot of the cross, and leaving our problem there with God. Committing our way to the Lord includes seeking God's presence, placing our problem in God's hand, and then trusting God's will and God's timing. After you commit your way, you leave your problem to him, and you wait for him. And that's the topic I'll be talking next Sunday. You wait to the Lord's time. It's very important. So, casting your need, bringing your need, taking your need to the Lord, it's a good way of the commitment or committing your way to him. May it be a big problem or small problem, big need or small need, God wants you to bring it to him. In the Bible, we see Jabez. I love this story of Jabez. Jabez was a man who was born in pain. And the whole generation, he decided to seek God. And he prayed 5 things. He said, God, may you bless me. May you change my life. May your hand be upon me. May you remove every harmful things upon my life. May you protect me. And the Bible said God granted to him what he prayed. And the Bible said God changed his life. His life was very noble, very honorable than his brothers. Praying. When you commit your way to God, he will make the difference. I don't know what you're going through. In your marriage, I don't know what you're going through. In your family, I don't know about your children. I don't know about your job. But let me tell you this. The Bible here is telling us clearly, commit your ways to the Lord, and he will do it. He will make the difference. Praise the name of God. Hallelujah. So, as we go to the conclusion of this message, as we are living in this world, the time will come when we are tempted to compare ourselves to other people. That's true. The time will come, my brother, my sister, we are not immune. It will come, then we feel like, oh my goodness, what's happening with me? How about others? But remember one thing. In order for us to keep in good relationship with God, as the Bible says in Psalm 37, we are encouraged for these 5 things. Number one, not to worry or not to fret about evildoers' success. Number two, to keep trusting in the Lord. Number three, to keep doing good. Number four, to delight ourselves every day in the Lord. And number five, to commit our ways to the Lord every day. I don't know about your life, but one thing I see, and I've encountered many people sometime. I remember I met one boy, a young boy here in Mapo Ridge, and I talked to him, said, how are you doing? He said, good. And how is your faith in Christ? He said, Pastor Sam, I know you. You know, I used to love God, but my girlfriend just rejected me. She just didn't like me. And then since then, I decided not to go through the things of God, because I don't see why I have to keep praying and trusting God when my girlfriend already decided to drop me. Brothers and sisters, these are the things of the world. These are the things of the world. You may be here. The business that you're running is collapsing. You may be here. Your health is collapsing. You may be here. The situation are not working the way you are expecting. You may be here. Your children are not listening to you anymore. You may be here. Others are running away from house. You may be here. Your health is not in a good condition. You may be here. Your job. Maybe you're fired. Maybe you're laid off. You may be here. You are going literally through tough time. This is a message for you. Do not fret. Trust the Lord. Commit your way to Him. Delight in Him. He will do it. Shall we bow our head as we continue to pray? Let's bow our head and let us pray. I don't know what the doctor said about your sickness, but God is able. I just don't know, but God is able. I don't know what the landlord is telling you about that place you're living, but God is able. The one who's standing before you preaching this message, I literally went through hell. There was no other hope but God. In God I trusted. So brothers and sisters, you may be here today and you want us to pray for you. Maybe you're saying, Pastor Sammy, I need your prayer. My life, my faith is shaking now. I need you to pray for me. If you're here, you need that kind of prayer, I want to pray for you now. Just make a step of faith, stand up and come front. Let me pray for you. Come, let us pray together. Come, let us pray for that need that you feel like is disturbing your life. Yes, God can do great things. Just come over. Let us pray. Let's pray for that need. Let's bring that need to God. Let's tell God about that situation that you feel like it's aching your life. It's aching your heart. Let us bring that need to the Lord. The Bible says, trust in Him. He will do it. Commit your ways to God. He will do it. Tell God. He will do it. Thank you, brother. Anyone, just come. Let's pray for your need. We are here just to uplift you before God and pray for you and say, God, remember your servant. Remember your son. Remember your daughter. He will do it. Come over. Let us pray. God knows your need. You don't need to suffer all alone. We're going to pray together and bring it to God. The Bible says whenever two or three agree, whatever they lose here will be lost in heaven. Whatever they pray here, it will be listened to heaven. So anyone else want us to pray for his need, just come over and we pray together. Our time is running, please. Hallelujah. Praise be the name of God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Because of time, we're going to do something different. I would like all of us to stand up, please, church. Shall we stand up? Thank you very much. And because of time, I know, I feel it, that we all are going through tough time. And we all are sometime, on one way or another, we arrive to the time where we fret and we worry. So how about we do this? Let's pray for one another. Someone who's close to you, just turn to him or turn to her and pray, lay your hand on him or her, and let us pray for one another, please. Let us do that. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for the brother here. I thank you that you know him. I thank you that you know his step coming forward. Means that he needs you. Means that he needs you to help him. Means that he needs you to sustain his faith. I pray that you sustain his faith, that you help him, that you meet his need, that you also, oh God, help him to be strong in faith. As he is willing to commit his way to you, he's willing to delight in you, and he's willing to trust you, and he's willing to, in everything that he's going through, to stand strong in faith, sir, because that is what you want us to do. So I pray that you help him in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. God bless you, brother. God bless you. Hallelujah. We're going to finish this by praying together. Can we raise our hand, church, and repeat this prayer after me? Say, Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for you have called me to be your child. I also thank you that you still want me to live in this world. I know I'm not of this world. Lord, I pray that every time that I am tempted to compare myself with people, especially people of this world, I pray that please may your Holy Spirit help me. Teach me to trust in you every day. Help me do what is good before you. Help me to commit my ways to you through prayer. Lord, help me to bring my desires to you, my needs, my situation, because only you, God, you know the answer for my problem. You have a good plan for my life. Father, I thank you. Today, I commit myself again to you. I say, Lord Jesus, come, have your way in my life. Lead me every day, every time, in Jesus' name. I repent from every worries of this world. And I ask you, Lord Jesus, to fill me with your Holy Spirit and the joy in the name of Jesus. I believe I will be okay because God is on my side. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. May be seated, please. Thank you.